Ancient Warfare, The Trojan War and Troy, Heinrich Schliemann, Part 2. He starts digging at Troy and he finds himself a new wife. Now, after leaving Istanbul, Heinrich Schliemann headed south to Pınarbaşı, which was long believed to be the site of Troy. But after doing research there, he decided that it wasn't the right place. Now, we come to Frank Calvert. Frank Calvert was an Englishman who acted as the American vice consul for the Dardanelles, and he'd done some preliminary digging at a hill called Hisarlik. Believing he had found Troy, Calvert invited the British Museum to begin excavation. When nothing came of his proposals, he decided to help Schliemann as much as he could. So Calvert takes Schliemann to his site. He then showed him the remains of a temple made from great blocks of hewn stone, which, of course, Calvert had excavated. So Schliemann decided to concentrate on Hisarlik. Everything seemed to fit with the Iliad story. He thought all he would have to do was remove the great stone blocks, and he would find Priam's marble palace, and in addition, his treasure. Schliemann discussed his theories and his plans for the excavation with Calvert. He wanted to start quickly, but unfortunately it was already late in the digging season. In addition, he still needed permission from the Turkish government. Actually, he needed more permission than that. Hisarlik was only half owned by Calvert. The other half was owned by two Turkish men. He's going to have to get their permission as well. And as I said, Calvert actually owned half of Hisarlik Hill and generously promised to help Schliemann. And of course, this generosity actually confused Schliemann, who was used to the business world. But he knew that without Calvert, he couldn't do anything. When he returned home, he wrote to Calvert asking all sorts of questions. For example, what sort of hat should he wear? How many workers would be needed? Should the workers be Greek or Turkish? And then some estimated cost. Now, obviously, we've had the Greek independence from Turkey in the 1800s, so bringing Greek workers to this site could be a problem. In addition to preparing himself for the excavation, Schliemann was also looking for a suitable wife who would accompany him on the dig. Now, he had divorced his Russian wife and decided on a Greek wife. And he decided that because he liked the sound of the Greek language, especially when it was spoken by a woman. Everywhere Schliemann traveled, he had Greek books. He saw, actually, the world through Greek eyes, and even became a fanatical supporter of Greek claims to control of Constantinople, which is now Istanbul. So obviously a Greek wife would be ideal. But how to find one? Now, he wrote to a priest friend of his, a Greek Orthodox priest named Vimpos, and described to him the kind of qualifications he was looking for in a wife. He wanted her to be poor. Obviously, she's very wealthy, and I think he wanted somebody with roots in the masses. But he wanted her to be poor. She, of course, had to be beautiful, and she needed to be a Homer enthusiast. She should have dark hair, should be well-educated, and have a good and loving heart. That was his prerequisites, if you will. Well, the priest selected a group of women from Athens who met those categories, had pictures taken of them, and then sent the pictures to Schliemann, who then looked through the pictures and decided on a winner. He selected a 17-year-old girl named Sophia. Then he went to meet her and her family in Athens. And there, he had to talk and ask her some questions. So, for example, he wanted to know if she would like to go on long journeys. He wanted to know, ask her all kinds of history questions. And then, of course, the big moment was when she had to recite passages from Homer by heart. In a short time, they were married, and then Schliemann is off to Troy. Now, initially, he left her in Athens, but ultimately she will indeed arrive on the site, will be with him when they find the, quote, Trojan treasure. Back at Hisarlik, the eastern side of the mound, as I mentioned before, was Calvert's. He bought it. The western part belonged to two Turks that were living in Kumkal. Schliemann believed that the western side would have the most important buildings because that area would have overlooked the original bay. So without permission, 10 men were sent to digging in that particular area. Schliemann was so sure of finding great buildings and treasure that he thought the Turks would forgive him once they saw the treasure and the large buildings. I would imagine if somebody were digging on my land and they dug up treasure, I would be expecting a big hunk of it, if not all of it. But this is going to lead to serious issues for a variety of reasons. So now they start digging. First day, they end up finding a house foundation. Second day, 11 more workers are moved to the site, giving them 21 workers digging. They excavate the entire house. Then among the cinders, he found a coin with the image of Hector on one side, with the inscription, Hector of Troy. Schliemann thought this was an omen of good luck. On day three, he became concerned that the owners might arrive at any moment. So he ordered two long trenches, one running east to west, one running south to north. By slicing across the top of the Hisarlik Mound, he hoped to form a general picture of the city. Of course, in the end, he's going to end up finding that there's city on top of city on top of city. So this digging is a lot less planned than I think most people realize. We know that this is a period where archaeology is really in its infancy, but we thought that Schliemann was probably digging with a little more technique, and instead he's just digging to find stuff. And if he doesn't find whole objects, he's not really too concerned with the other stuff. Well, now that brings us to the point, because the next thing that is going to happen is, indeed he was correct, the owners arrived. And now the bidding begins for the western part of the mound of Hisarlik. Now the sources for this, pretty much the same ones that I've been using. Troy by Askin, Troy 1700 to 1250 BC by Fields, A Guide to Troy and Wallusa by Korfman, In Search of the Trojan War by Wood, Helen of Troy by Hughes, and The War at Troy by Quintus of Smyrna. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com. Ask a question, leave a comment, check out the CDs, check out the souvenirs, and check out the two shows on YouTube, on the History According to Bob YouTube site. One of them is the Camtasia version of the geography of Troy, and the other one is the layers of Troy. And presently, I'm working on doing the walkthrough of the site. So, thank you very much.